Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to you all. It's coming soon. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Before we read the scriptures this morning, I want to make a personal appeal to you. I don't do this very often, but this is very personal, straight from my heart. Tonight in this church, we are going to have what I consider to be one of the greatest moments in the calendar of this church. It's what's called Lessons and Carols. Now, I know if you don't know what that is, you may wonder, well, I don't want to come to church on Sunday night to hear a bunch of lessons, but let me tell you what that means. There's no preaching. Isn't that great? So you're going to come to church and there's no preaching? I can do that. And beyond that, actually what happens is that the choir will be leading us through the Christmas story with songs like you just heard. And in between, we'll be reading the scriptures and talking about them and knowing that the Lord has done a great thing in the birth of our Savior. Now, this is not just for you who are here this morning. As I invited last week, as I asked you last week, in my opinion, this is one of the best times for you to go find a friend and bring them to church with you. They're not going to have to sit through a boring sermon. They're going to enjoy the music. It'll be pleasant. There will be a reception afterwards. There will be friends here who will make them feel welcomed. It's not just going to be you and your buddy, but others will be making them feel welcomed as well. This is our chance as a church to reach out to our friends, neighbors, and family members, whether they go to church or not, and bring them in here. Tonight, this room ought to be filled to capacity. We ought to have to bring chairs for the aisles, and I hope you will make that happen tonight. But you'll notice that the service tonight is at 7:30 rather than 6:30 as we usually have on Sunday evening, but don't let that dissuade you parents from bringing your children. My suggestion to you is 7:30, yes, it's getting later, but let them take a nap this afternoon. They'll be fine. They can make it one day, and it will be worth it to them and worth it to you as well. We're reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 45. Hear now the word of our God. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, these words we just read must be especially precious to you because they are the words of your mother. And we are grateful to know what your mother said on this very special day, to know the praise that she offered, to know the service that she offered. And we pray now that you will honor us by sending Holy Spirit to us so that we may understand your mother's words, so that we may see how they apply to our lives, so that we may be able to serve you more faithfully because of these precious words. Grant to us this grace, we pray, Lord. Amen. Your call to worship this morning was from Isaiah chapter 9, and that's good because we are in a series of sermons on Isaiah chapter 9. Last week we began by saying that Isaiah chapter 9 promised that a child would be born who would one day rule over the entire world, extending the peace and the grace of God to all the nations of the world. And that child, of course, is none other than Jesus. But in the middle of that passage in Isaiah 9 is a list of names that this royal child will have. Do you remember? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It was common in the ancient world of the Bible to give kings many titles, and these are titles that he would have as he ascended to his throne. Much like today, when the Queen of England is introduced in a very formal occasion, she has some 40 titles that are read off or are announced as she stands there. Rather than just saying, here's the Queen of England, it's 40 different titles that they give to her. That's the way it was with Isaiah as he talks about this great child to be born. Happily, he only had 4 titles, not 40. But each one of these titles is very significant and worthy of our reflection as we move toward Christmas. So this entire month, we're going to be unpacking what those various titles, those throne names of Jesus mean. And today, we're concerned with the first one, Wonderful Counselor. Now, in the days of the Bible, an expression like Wonderful Counselor did not mean that the great King Jesus was going to be a great therapist. Not that kind of counselor. Not a great Sigmund Freud or Carl Jung or someone like that. No, no, no. In that day, to be a counselor meant that you were a great military strategist, that you were one who gave counsel to the king and told him how to do certain things. And if the king was himself a great military strategist, well, then that was even greater, even more wonderful. And so when Isaiah says that Jesus is the wonderful counselor or the wonder of a counselor, he's saying that he has a strategy for succeeding in his kingdom, for bringing his kingdom to the point that will have no end, that the increase of his government and of his peace will extend forevermore, because he has such an amazing strategy. In Luke chapter 1, we find this great strategy. In the song of Mary, the words of Jesus' mother. Now, I'm sure you've all been in a situation where you've had a problem of some sort, maybe a family conflict or maybe a problem at work, whatever it may be, and you've racked your brain trying to figure out what to do about it. And finally, maybe sometimes by accident or sometimes by your own choice, you find someone who knows the right answer, who knows how to fix the problem. Now, if you become convinced that this person knows how to fix the problem, even if he or she tells you that it's going to be tough, it's going to be hard, you'll still say, thank you so much. At least I know in the end it will all turn out all right. And that's what we discover about the strategy of the Wonderful Counselor as it's given to us here in the life of Mary. The Gospel of Luke talks about Mary. It talks about women more than any other gospel, and it talks about Mary a lot. Apparently, Luke had actually interviewed Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she treasured many things in her heart and remembered them, and she told them to him as he was preparing to write his gospel. So this is a very personal look into the heart of Mary and something that we must not pass by quickly. It's not something that we must take lightly. This is the woman who gave birth to our Lord. The first thing that Mary does after Elizabeth tells her that her son is going to be magnificent because John the Baptist, who's inside of Elizabeth, starts jumping with joy when Mary